every day shall be praised in him. Long its breath remains in me. That's my prayer. And I believe that the Lord has blessed us this weekend, that we have been able to be blessed with his spirit, that we have been able to enter into true worship. I beg an interest in your prayers this afternoon, that if the Lord will, if it be his will, that his word may be preached here this afternoon. I've had a verse on my mind since about Thursday. And I'm trying to get this stuff figured out, brothers. And I know it'll never happen. But there's just, I've had times when the Lord has put a subject on my mind all week and changed it right before I got up or I went with it. Well, this one was Thursday, right before I was coming down, up, over here. And I got to thinking, I need more time.
No one will.
That's true. But I'd like to go in Matthew. Well, just to set it up here, we got Matthew 5. And seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. And then we go through what's known as the Beatitudes. This is the Sermon on the Mount, basically. The Beatitudes, and he goes through all just two chapters of teaching them. And what I want is here at the end. After, in verse chapter 27, verse 28, it says, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes." I tell you, that verse right there has just been sticking out to me. That they were astonished at his doctrine. Can you imagine that? I've thought on this, and I've thought on the brethren I have been blessed to grow up under, and hearing as a child and my young life to preach the gospel. And some of them knew the scriptures like I could only wish to attain. Oh, but this man was the Word.
Yeah, right.
He was the Word.
Right.
And here they sat and listened to him. Oh, don't you know they were astonished? I tell you, what a blessing that was. Oh, they were astonished. And they said, this one, for he taught them as one having authority. Oh, I tell you, we've been blessed to hear preaching today, haven't we? We've been blessed this weekend to hear preaching. Oh, but this was Jesus Christ doing the preaching. The very Word made flesh. Oh, and it says, he taught us as one having authority. Not as the scribes. The scribes, oh, they get so wrapped up in the law. And I read that they had a saying that our wise men say this. That's how the tribes talk. But this man, oh, I love that when we see that in the scriptures. But this man, because he, seeing he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Oh, but this man, whenever that's in the scriptures, is about to get good. This man, oh, because he hath an unchangeable priesthood. Or, but this man was counted worthy of more honor than Moses, seeing that he that hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. Oh, but this man. Oh, we've heard great blessed ministers preach the gospel. Oh, but this man. This man was the Word made flesh. Oh, he taught them as one having authority. Let me look at the clock real quick. I forgot to. Sometimes I let my thoughts out. This one taught them having authority. Oh, and I thought, oh, I just thought, all those that I've heard, grown up with, who knew the Scripture so well, you know, if they weren't blessed by the Spirit, they didn't preach. They didn't preach. And I thought, oh, how did this one, how did they know, how did they see that he had the authority? In 1 Timothy 3:16, it says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit. I tell you, Brother Sonny quoted Ephesians 1:13-11, I think, where it says, after we have believed, we are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. That Spirit tells us something. But I tell you, it tells us here in 1 Timothy 3:16 that Jesus was justified by the Spirit. Oh, and I remember a conversation with Brother Walden and Brother Sonny. Oh, when do you think he was justified in the Spirit? And one of them said, when was he not? That's a good response. When was he not? Oh, but I'll tell you, when I believe it was manifest to some people. Oh, whenever John was baptizing in Jordan. Oh, just set the picture in your mind, if you will. He's baptizing. He's got these coming where he's telling to repent, for the kingdom is at hand. And then he comes up and he looks up and he sees Jesus Christ walking. And he says, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, I tell you, may that message still be preached today. That behold, the Lamb of God. If I'll be blessed to preach that the rest of my life, I think I'll die a happy man. Oh, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And he baptized. Jesus coming to him, saying, I have need to be baptized. But John forbade him. I imagine so, because you can see John knew who this was. I said this not too long ago. I finally got my first baptism. But before that, I was looking. I was looking for someone to baptize. And I know how to now, if anyone's interested. But I tell you, he forbade him. I just thought, I really want to baptize someone. But yeah, I can see that. I have need to be baptized of thee, he said. Suffer it to be so. For it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Oh, and when he baptized him, says Jesus, coming straightway out of the water, and the heavens were opened up. Oh, we heard something about when the heavens opened up. It was good. Good things happened when the heavens opened up. And he saw in the form of a dove the Spirit lighting upon him. And he heard a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. I tell you, that Spirit lit upon him. And they saw this. And they heard a voice. Oh, we go through doubts, don't we? We go through times of doubt, times of questioning. And no doubt they did too. But at that point, at that time, they knew who this was standing in front of them. This man was God's beloved Son. You want to talk about authority? He had it, and it was declared there that day. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Oh, and he was justified by that Spirit. It declared who he was and what his authority was. What did he say? I love to think on the first words we have. We're talking about his authority. What was he authorized to do? Oh, there's many things he was authorized to do. Oh, but the first words we have recorded of our Savior in the Bible when Joseph and Mary had gone 3 days' journey and left. In my foolish thoughts, I'm like, how can you leave your kid 3 days? Well, the Rogans have done it. And I've almost done it. But then they came back and they found. And they said, how have you dealt with us this way? We have sought you sorrowfully. He says, how is it you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? He was authorized to do his Father's business. Oh, what was his Father's business? Matthew 1:21. She shall have a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I tell you, brethren, he had authority to do that.
Amen.
And this man, he did what he came to do. In Ecclesiastes 8:4, it says, where there is word of a king, there is power. That word authority has power. I have the power to do this. Oh, he taught them as one having authority, as one having power. Oh, and he was justified by that Spirit which lit upon him like a dove. Oh, and he walked this earth for many years, 30 years, 33 years. And that Spirit followed him. I believe that Spirit called in Mark 4, I believe. Luke 4. Jesus, this is where. Well, let's back up a minute. After that Spirit lit upon him, immediately after he was baptized, it says the Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Oh, the Spirit led him. The Spirit was with him. And now, after that, here we are. I didn't back up too much. So, in Luke 4, he comes into to the temple, I believe. Yeah. He came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And what he read in verse 18, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. That always, if you've ever heard me before talk on this, which I've talked on, it amazes me. Just that mental picture there. This man comes and reads and he hands the book and he sits down. I tell you, that's someone who's got some authority to me. I don't need to say anything else. This is my word. And he closed the book and he gave it to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Now this, I believe, is Christ setting up his kingdom, the church here on earth. He had that authority to do so. Hebrews. Hebrews 1. God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and listen to this, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Upholding all things by the word of his power. That is some power. Oh, it goes through here. By whom the worlds were made. Oh, he spake this world into existence. And by him these worlds were made. And they are being upheld by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, set down on the right hand of the majesty on high. I believe it's granddaddy, Brother Sonny, that you know, I've always used this, he sat down because he had finished the work. I believe granddaddy brought it to me and Brother Sonny, that this is a position of reigning. He sat down to reign. I tell you, and he is reigning.
Amen.
We don't have to wait for him to come and set up a kingdom on this earth. It takes some faith, does it not? That's what people are wanting. They want to see him set up his kingdom. But brethren, he is seated now. Though we can't see him with our eyes now, we can see him by an eye of faith. Oh, and we see him high and lifted up. But we see him sitting by the right hand of the throne of God, reigning over his kingdom. I tell you, Jesus Christ is active in his church, is active in his kingdom. I have friends I try to explain things to, and I just can't do it. But we follow, if we are doing as we should, we follow the leadership of the Spirit. We pastor where the Spirit tells us to go. We preach where the Spirit tells us to go preach the Word. Oh, don't tell me that we're not evangelists. If the Lord says go, we better go. I tell you, he is reigning in power. Think on the power he had. I think on one of my favorites. Yeah, I know I say that a lot. Consider in Hebrews 12, 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Consider him. And that contradiction of sinners. Oh, he who spoke the world into existence. He whose word brought the world into existence. He who upholds all things by the word of his power. He who is the express image of his person. He who was God manifest in the flesh. He who was called Counselor, Wonderful, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He who in Revelation 19 it says, the name was on his thigh, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He endured a contradiction, did he not? He who inhabited heaven and immortal glory left it. And he walked in this world. In this world eaten up with sin. For you and for me. All because he had authority from his Father. My Father, which is in heaven, has sent me. I think on the power, His power. Remember when Judas had betrayed Him, and they come looking for Him. He says, "Whom seek ye?" They said, "Jesus of Nazareth." He said, "I am He." And what happened? They fell backwards. Just at the words of His voice, at the declaration that "I am Him, I am Jesus," they fell backward. That's some power.
Amen, bro.
In the 10th chapter of John, trying to figure out where to start. I'm going to start in verse 14. "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep have I which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself." I tell you, let us always remember that. That Jesus, He had the power. He had the power to overcome those that killed Him. He had the power. What did He tell them in the garden? Think not. Oh no! When they came for Him also, and Peter lopped off the ear of that man. He says, "Think not that I cannot presently pray to my Father, and He send me 12 legions of angels." That's some authority, right? To pray to the Father, and I guarantee you it will happen. But He didn't do that. I tell you, what was His greatest act of power? He says, "No man taketh from me, but I lay it down of myself." I have power to lay it down. And I have power to take it again. "This commandment have I received of my Father." All He received of His Father. Don't let the world tell you that our Jesus is weak. That He was a weak Savior. That He is a pleading Savior. I tell you, He died on that cross in all power. Because He laid down His life. And I'm not... No. We can't do that. This is. I know you think suicide. No, I'm saying He can say, "I die now. I have power to lay it down." It says He gave up the ghost. And He gave up the ghost. Because He had that power. He laid down His life for us. Oh, I tell you, He suffered that contradiction of sinners against Himself. Oh, I think on the things, on the account we have on that cross. Oh, and what you see with the natural eye and what they saw. Oh, but what we are blessed to see with an eye of faith and what happens spiritually. Oh, when He said, "I thirst." Oh, don't you know that they said, "Look at him. Look at that poor man. He's thirsty." Oh, but spiritually, we're blessed to see that He was thirsting for that cup. That He prayed to His Father, "If it be thy will, let it pass. Nevertheless, not thy will, but my will." I tell you, that was the cup, I believe, that He was thirsting for there. Oh, and when He cried out, that great cry, "Eliah, Eliah, lama sabachthani," that is to say, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" What did they say? They said, "He crieth for Elias. Let's see if he comes and helps. This poor man needs the help of a man." Oh, but what did it say? We know what that means. That means that the spotless Lamb of God was forsaken of the Father. Was the wrath which we all deserve was poured out upon Him. I talked about that Spirit going with Him all the way through His walk. And I think I've made a mistake in times past of thinking, I tell you, just trying to figure out. And that's another thing, you'll never get figured out, Jeb, but you keep on trying. The Trinity, the Godhead. Oh, you just get digging in it and then your head starts spinning. Oh, but I think I've made the mistake, and I've heard it said, and I might have once thought this, that God turned His back on Jesus when He's on the cross. No, I believe He was attentive.
Amen.
Attentive to His Son, His beloved Son, and He was pouring out His wrath on Him. And that Spirit that went with Him, that Spirit that went with Him all throughout His life, which was, I believe, manifest there at Jordan River, which led Him into the wilderness, which He was anointed of to preach the gospel. In Hebrews 19 it says, "For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God." Oh, there's so much I don't understand about the Trinity. But it was there on the cross. Jesus, the Son, the Word, died on the cross. And the Spirit, His offering was accepted, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself to God. And God accepted that sacrifice. Oh, because it was spotless. Oh, because it was prepared. It was tempted in every point, yet without sin. Though He were a Son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. Oh, He suffered. He was tempted in every point of the law. He went through every temptation that His children would go through, that His brethren would go through. Yet He was yet without sin. I tell you, He was a spotless Lamb of God. So we see the power He had. The power to lay it down. The power to take it up. Oh, He was delivered. He was delivered for our offenses, but raised again for our justification.
Right.
Oh, He had the power to be raised again. And He was, after 3 days and 3 nights, resurrected. Oh, and thanks be to God for that. Because by that, we are justified by faith. Oh, we can believe in the risen Savior. I tell you, I don't have time to go in it, but just look. Look at the difference in the two on the road to Emmaus. They were going and they were sad. And Jesus appeared to them and they did not know who it was. And after He revealed Himself, they said, "Did not our hearts burn within us?" And they ran to Jerusalem. Or they left immediately to go to Jerusalem because they had a message to tell. You want to talk about that? Oh, I see that justification by His resurrection in that. Oh, the difference that makes in our lives when we see a risen Savior It strengthens us. Now, First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God. I love to watch the possession and the of God's children. God chose them before the world began, gave them to His Son. And here we have, then cometh in when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. And says, when he shall have put down all rule and authority and power. Okay, I've been struggling with that. Say, he's going to put down all rule and authority and power. I believe that's for this earthly kingdom. It will have no purpose at that time. He will put down the rule and the authority of that. For he must reign. He must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. I tell you, what a comforting message that is. Hebrews 2, real quick. For as much then, verse 14, as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. I tell you, we're either dead or dying in this world. It keeps us in bondage. What? Just today's news. We've heard of three deaths. Oh, but someday we won't be under that bondage. Because he who has authority, he defeated the devil. He defeated him who had the power of death. Oh, that by death, by his death, he destroyed it. He used his own weapon on him, if you will. I tell you, the captain of our salvation, I love to look at this and just to look at the power of God. I don't want to hear about a weak Savior, pleading Savior. I want to hear of an all-powerful Savior who was given authority from His Father, who was sent on a mission, if you will, who was sent to do His will, and He performed it because He was perfect and He was all-powerful. I tell you, He destroyed it. And He will. It will be manifest. The last, He must reign. He's reigning now. And He will reign to the end. He will reign as King of Kings. And that last enemy, that last enemy, oh, we've been in bondage, have we not, to it? Watching our loved ones, bearing our loved ones, but some sweet day, no more. He shall wipe away all tears. I'm thinking, I won't go there. I tell you, our God, our Savior, they were astonished at His doctrine. His name is still preached today. And you know how it's preached? In power. In demonstration of the Spirit. As the Apostle Paul said in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." I tell you, when His name is preached, when it is really preached, there will be power. When the word of our victorious Savior is preached, I don't care if you're loud like me or Brother Sonny, or quiet. When you preach, it's powerful. I tell you, it's a powerful Savior we're speaking about. And His message is full of power. Come ahead, brother.
Amen.